This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, welcome back. Hour number four, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, the Zioli Show on Twitter at Rich Zioli and 855-839-1210. Listen, I got to tell you, the news about the stupidity of Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson is not nearly getting out there the way it needs to. But right here in this hour, we have exclusive audio for you from oral arguments from the Supreme Court case that everybody should be talking about, where Justice Brown Jackson makes an argument that is so incredibly absurd, I almost fell out of my chair. Now, I have to tell you right away, although I'm not an attorney, I do play one on TV, and I used to love listening to, may it please the court, the Supreme Court oral arguments for some of the most landmark cases. And one thing I thought everybody understood, I mean everybody, whether you're Supreme Court justice or not, was that the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution was meant to ensure that everybody is treated the same way under the law, regardless of the color of their skin. Meaning that whether you're black or you're white or you're some other color, you're treated the same. The rights afforded to each and every one of us under the Constitution flow through the 14th Amendment, and the law is interpreted that way ever since on all kinds of different things, even things that had nothing to do with race at the time of the passage of the 14th Amendment. Good example of that would be the Supreme Court case legalizing gay marriage, utilizing the 14th Amendment in their arguments. But Justice Jackson apparently has no understanding of the concept of the 14th Amendment. So a little history. Obviously, we had this dust-up called the Civil War. Then we had Reconstruction. They had these Reconstruction amendments to bring the southern states back into the Union. Abraham Lincoln insisted that they go along with the 13th and the 14th Amendments. The 13th Amendment, of course, ending slavery. The 14th Amendment of the Constitution, which would establish the vehicle by which the Bill of Rights would transcend any states that tried to put blocks in their way. And that's why the Bill of Rights now extend to the states, each and every state. No state can block the Third Amendment any more than it can block the Fourth Amendment or the First Amendment or the Second Amendment. And this was done specifically because they had something after the Civil War and before it, of course, with slavery, called the Black Codes, which were laws designed, much like the precursor to Jim Crow laws, designed to keep black people separate from white people. And there, of course, would also be a famous Supreme Court case called Plessy, which I'll get into that in a moment, too. But before I get ahead of myself here, we have some oral arguments from the case. It is Merrill v. Milligan and Merrill v. Castor. Now, this case has to do with drawing congressional maps using race as a criteria. OK, and basically, if you use Justice Jackson's argument, it is perfectly reasonable to use race as the criteria to draw congressional districts. And so then the residents of those districts are going to be basically segregated. And then this is a pro-segregation argument that she's giving here. So let me begin with this now. Should I start with this is the Solicitor General of Alabama. His name is Edmund G. Lesore, explaining how Alabama's redistricting law was made in a race-neutral manner in accordance with the 14th Amendment, where it's supposed to be race-neutral. Everybody's treated the same under the law. Take a listen.
Alabama conducted its 2021 redistricting in a lawful, race-neutral manner. The state largely retained its existing districts and made changes needed to equalize population. But that wasn't good enough for the plaintiffs. They argued that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act requires Alabama to replace its map with a racially gerrymandered plan, maximizing the number of majority-minority districts. But Section 2 requires an electoral process equally open to all, not one that guarantees maximum political success for some over others. Section 2 does not and cannot obligate Alabama to abandon district lines enveloping the undisputed, long-standing community of interest in the Gulf to be replaced by district lines dividing black and white with such racial precision that Alabama could never have constitutionally drawn those lines in the first place. Yet that is what Alabama has been commanded to do here, redraw its districts to subordinate traditional districting principles to race. The only way to add a second majority-minority district to Alabama's plan is to make race the non-negotiable criterion. Plaintiffs' illustrative plans prove the point. They offer only one way to get that second majority black district. Split Mobile County and divide the Gulf by race. Their new versions of districts 1 and 2 then stretch the width of the state to group together black voters from disparate areas as far west as Mobile and as far east as the Georgia border. The district court relied on these outlier plans to invalidate the state's neutrally drawn map, and that was legal error. Requiring states to scrap neutral plans in favor of plans drawn on account of race sets Section 2 at war with itself and with the Constitution. The court should make clear that if a state's plan is the product of the state's neutral districting principles, the plan is equally open to all voters. Because Alabama's 2021 plan is such a plan, plaintiffs' claims fail.
Now, exactly right. This is at war with the Constitution. Of course it is. Imagine it like this, basically. Imagine if the goal of the state legislature was to draw maps that ensured that whites would have the majority. Do you think anybody would think that was okay? Who would think that was okay? But essentially now, what Justice Jackson is arguing here is that it's perfectly fine to do that if society has some goal, which is to advance another race. So in this case now, of course, she's talking about African-Americans, black voters. So because society in her mind has this idea now that they want to advance them, then you can throw out race neutrality. You can just throw out the concept that the 14th Amendment literally prohibits the state from making laws that will, in fact, harm one racial group for preference of another racial group. I mean, the reason why, of course, we have this is very, very simple to understand. Whites, back at the time of the passage of the 14th Amendment, were making laws that benefited one particular racial group, whites. And so in order to make sure that that would stop happening and laws would be applied equally, we have the 14th Amendment, obviously. But apparently now Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson and her faux originalism, as Carrie Severino put it, which I'll get into that piece in just a moment, well, she completely destroys that argument. Take a listen.
And what I guess I'm a little confused about in light of that argument is why, given our normal assessment of the Constitution, why is it that you think that there's a 14th Amendment problem? And let me just clarify what I mean by that. I don't think we can assume that just because race is taken into account, that that necessarily creates an equal protection problem, because I understood that we looked at the history and traditions of the Constitution, at what the framers and the founders thought about. And when I drilled down to that level of analysis, it became clear to me that the framers themselves adopted the Equal Protection Clause, the 14th Amendment, the 15th Amendment, in a race-conscious way, that they were, in fact, trying to ensure that people who had been discriminated against, the freedmen, during the Reconstruction period, were actually brought equal to everyone else in the society. So I looked at the report that was submitted by the Joint Committee on Reconstruction, which drafted the 14th Amendment. And that report says that the entire point of the amendment was to secure rights of the freed former slaves. The legislator who introduced that amendment said that, quote, unless the Constitution should restrain them, those states will all, I fear, keep up this discrimination and crush to death the hated freedmen. That's not a race-neutral or race-blind idea in terms of the remedy. And even more than that, I don't think that the historical record establishes that the founders believed that race neutrality or race blindness was required.
What? That's insane. Of course you have to make sure that you are treating everybody fairly according to race. And then Therefore, race blindness or race neutrality is 100% required under the law. Because if it's not, then black people are never to enjoy equality under the law. And that's why we have a 14th Amendment. By the way, she was quoting Representative Thaddeus Stevens, who is artfully played in the movie Lincoln by Tommy Lee Jones. Does a fantastic job. Man had fantastic hair. It was a rug, but nevertheless, it was one of the most beautiful rugs in the history of politics. But I digress. If I ever lose my hair, I'm going to rock a Thaddeus Stevens wig. I 100% will. DeSantis is laughing, but I can pull off a toupee, all right? How do you know I'm not wearing one now? I'm not going to let you pull my hair. What do you think, I'm crazy? Listen, I've been on Rogaine since I was 4. I'm not taking any chances. I lose my hair and it's over. I'm back to morning drive, you know what I mean? Sorry. But the truth of the matter is that the historical details do not support Jackson's takeaways and what she's talking about with Thaddeus Stevens here. The record is clear. Congress was working to remedy flagrant racial discrimination under the law, particularly the discrimination of the black codes in the former Confederate states, which aimed to relegate those who had been emancipated, freed, to a status that closely resembled slavery. So the remedy to that was the Civil Rights Act of 1866, for which the 14th Amendment was meant to provide a firm constitutional foundation so the law would not be struck down in court. The 1866 statute recited a litany of civil rights, many of them contract and property rights guaranteed to all citizens of every race and color in the same measure as they were enjoyed by white citizens. In other words, it was going to be race neutral or race blind. You get the same rights as I do, whether you're black or you're white. We all get the same rights. That is literally the very definition of race neutral and race blind. We're going to treat you like we can't see the color of your skin, and we're going to give you the rights you are afforded under the United States Constitution vis-a-vis the 14th Amendment. Now, Jackson cited this law and Thaddeus Stevens' comments without acknowledging that it was actually meant to eliminate racial distinctions. That's exactly why it was there. It was aimed to remedy the condition of people who had been enslaved. And also then those people who were then denied basic things like food, shelter, clothing, medical services, education. And then, of course, we would all remember Plessy, too. Plessy v. Ferguson, which is a very, very famous case, the United States Supreme Court, which essentially now granted this notion of separate but equal as constitutional, which thank God would be overturned. But before I get to that, let me give you the retort by the Alabama Solicitor General to Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's ridiculous argument. Take a listen.
So with that as the framing in the background, I'm trying to understand your position that Section 2, which by its plain text is doing that same thing, is saying you need to identify people in this community who have less opportunity and less ability to participate and ensure that that's remedied, right? It's a race conscious effort, as you have indicated. I'm trying to understand why that violates the 14th Amendment, given the history and background of the 14th Amendment.
The 14th Amendment is a prohibition on discriminatory state action. It is not an obligation to engage in affirmative discrimination in favor of some groups.
Now, it's also important to note that years later, we would come back to something that Thaddeus Stevens said. By the way, he's from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He was a PA guy and one of the leaders of the abolitionist movement. In fact, I would argue probably the leader of the abolitionist movement. But he would argue that whenever anyone undertakes to make a distinction between the black race and our own, meaning the white race, because of the color of his skin or the formation of the body, he forgets his God and his God will forget him. So then decades later, the test before the United States Constitution, before the Supreme Court, is the Constitution colorblind? Justice John Marshall Harlan, his famous dissent protesting the court's validation of state-imposed racial segregation in Plessy. Plessy v. Ferguson. You know, whenever I hear people talk about, well, there's precedent, and the Supreme Court can't overturn law because there's precedent and super precedent. I always think about two particular cases, well, several in particular, but Dred Scott, where they ruled that slaves were property, essentially human beings were property. Plessy v. Ferguson, where they said separate but equal is constitutional. I also think about the time where they had Korematsu v. United States, when they basically said that Roosevelt's order to imprison Japanese, German, and Italian Americans based on the color of their skin without any due process whatsoever was constitutional. I think of those three particular cases, and of course Roe v. Wade, which of course, thank God, has been overturned. But anyway, those cases have been overturned because they were terrible cases, and just because something's been decided does not mean it can't be overturned if it was a terrible decision. But in that dissent, a beautiful dissent by John Marshall Harlan, he protested the court's decision in Plessy, and he even said, you need to have respect for a law's original meaning. So what was the original meaning of the 14th Amendment that was crafted by the legislature, of course? The intent of the legislature is to be respected, in contrast to a majority that lacked such respect. So now we have a justice on the United States Supreme Court who wants to throw all of that out and say, no, it's perfectly fine to treat people different based on the color of their skin, so long as we like the outcome, so long as we think that's a favorable outcome. But that's exactly what the segregationists argued, and their arguments lost because of the 14th Amendment, which said you have to treat people equal based on the color of their skin, regardless of the color of their skin, because it is race neutral and race blind. Duh. I feel like I'm explaining this to my kindergarten kid. She would have a better understanding of this. By the way, little side note, I've been on Propecia since I was 19 years old because I'm not going to risk my hair. But Thaddeus Stevens' wig, actually, they did a preservation contest in Pennsylvania. True story. DeSantis is cracking up. This is a true story. If I ever do lose my hair, hopefully my wig will go for as much money. But they did a crowdfunding to try to protect his wig so they didn't have to lose it. I mean, the thing looks like roadkill. You see Thaddeus Stevens' wig now. It really does. It looks like somebody ran it over and then ran it over again and backed it up. But in 24 hours, a Lancaster County Community Foundation had a fundraiser and they raised $1.6 million to preserve Thaddeus Stevens' wig. Now, I can tell you one thing. I am not hair blind. That thing was a bad rug. I'm just telling you right now, a bad rug. But Thaddeus Stevens' argument is solid. The 14th Amendment is solid. And Justice Brown Jackson is a joke. She has no business being on the United States Supreme Court. If she thinks you can actually use the 14th Amendment to promulgate segregation and intolerance and indifference and government-based policies that favor the outcome for one racial group over another. Listen, Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, my great friends. I talked to my buddy Judith Krupnik earlier today. In fact, I'm going to see her in a little bit when I go to the Union League to give my speech tonight. Judith is fantastic. She's a great friend of mine, and I am so grateful for all the great work they do at Cherry Hill Volvo. Are you a Costco member? Because if you are, you're going to get an additional $1,250 off the price of a brand new Volvo at Cherry Hill Volvo. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I love the treatment you're going to get there, too, because Judith prides herself on creating lifelong relationships. That's why Cherry Hill Volvo has been so incredibly successful and why we broadcast live every day from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. And I love driving my Volvo. They're safe, they're fast, incredible technology, and luxurious. And that's why you deserve a luxurious experience, which you will find on Route 70 in Cherry Hill with my friends Judith and Yosef and the entire team at Cherry Hill Volvo. Take an additional $1,250 off every new Volvo on top of their amazing offers. When you go visit them today, they are the Philadelphia area's most accessible Volvo dealership. Go see them. What are you waiting for? You're never going to get any pressure. If the car is not right for you, the car is not right for you. But I think you're going to love it, especially if you're a Costco member, with that additional $1,250 savings. Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.